going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. We got a lot to get into. The Kansas City Chiefs have selected a first-round pick, and we now have the answer. They have drafted left tackle, right tackle, Joshua Simmons from Ohio State. Let's start with this, and we'll talk local, we'll talk national, we'll get you ready for today. There's a lot of stuff centered around the NFL draft. I said coming into this thing that there were a lot of different scenarios that the Chiefs could go through, and that there was no world in which I was going to be unhappy with what the Chiefs decided to do. I think that played itself out yesterday. The Chiefs had, I would say, three clear paths that they could have gone down. The Chiefs could have taken a left tackle. They did that with Joshua Simmons, and that prepares them for 2026, 2027, and beyond. I think that is a really good thing. The Chiefs could have gotten the most dynamic and explosive player left on the board with Luther Burden. If the Chiefs had taken a wide receiver and their wide receiver room for next season was going to be Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Luther Burden, Juju Smith-Schuster, that is a great room, and I still think they're going out and getting a running back. I would have been happy with that. I love Will Johnson from Michigan. I don't know why he's moving down boards. Maybe there's an injury concern. Maybe there's a character thing that I don't know about. But the player that I saw this year at Michigan for a defense that did everything in their power to help Michigan make a bowl game, I thought he was their second best player on defense this past year behind Mason Graham, who went fifth overall. If the Chiefs had taken a corner and their cornerback room was going to be Trent McDuffie, Will Johnson, Christian Fulton, and Jalen Watson, and now Nazi Johnson is your fifth option, I would have been perfectly fine with that. I thought the Chiefs had a couple of different roads that they can go down, and this is the one that they decided to go down. What excites me the most about this is, and this is something, Rob, that you and I had been talking about when we kind of looked at him as a player that made sense for the Chiefs at 31. I don't think that he is a prospect that is usually available to them at 31. You don't get players of this caliber. Ryan Day, now admittedly, he is biased. Ryan Day says that he believes if Simmons had decided to come back to school, he thinks that Simmons would be a top five pick in next year's NFL draft. The head coach of Ohio State believes that the player that the Chiefs just drafted had top five potential. Well, then the Chiefs don't select near the top five. And if you're looking at left or right tackle as a position of need, and you got a player who we believe could develop into a premium prospect, you got to take him at 32. And you also, and we can keep this conversation going, but this is important to note, you also picked up a fifth round pick in the process. So you got a potential left tackle for the future or right tackle of the future, and you get another asset that maybe you use to trade up in this year's draft. Maybe you package 63 in that fifth round pick and you move up to go get a player that you really love. Who knows what you end up using the fifth round pick for? Maybe you use that selection and it turns out to be a player that you really like. Whatever it is, you picked up an additional asset and picked up a player that we can project right now will be a starter for you in 2026. That's a great move if you're Kansas City. So I like the move. I would give it an A. I don't think it's a home run swing because of the injury concerns, but the injury concerns are also why he's available where he was selected. But you got a player who people like Todd McShay, who have been doing this for quite some time, Todd McShay believes that the Chiefs got the most talented offensive tackle in this class. An offensive tackle went number 4 overall. Todd McShay thinks that the player that the Chiefs got is more talented than that player.
Josh Simmons from Ohio State, I've said for most of the year, is the best offensive tackle in the class. And the more I look at it and the more I watch him, the more I'm convinced I was right then. If New England were to take Josh Simmons at 4 overall, I wouldn't even blink. He's that damn good. He is the most gifted tackle in this class. And
this is what I wrote. This is my first line.
It's not even close.
In all caps, most talented offensive lineman in the class, .. Not close, IMO, in my opinion. Go ahead.
So we agree. I just don't get it. He's that good. The ACL, I think, is the biggest issue here. If we were talking about him, if he had finished the season and he had run through the playoffs where he played those teams, they played all those great teams, I think if he had faced them, he would have shown how good he is. This is a guy that's slipping through the cracks for reasons I don't understand. I think when I do my final rankings, he's going to be higher than I think most people have him.
So that is Todd McShay, most talented offensive tackle in this class. Here is Chico Borman. Chico Borman, who is the post-game host for Ohio State. Here's what he had to say about Josh Simmons.
I think when you look at him, just the size, I mean, 6'6", about 320. He got hurt, obviously, and we'll touch on that a little bit more, but got hurt about 5 games in. But, I mean, CDOT, if he doesn't get hurt, no disrespect to Will Campbell and your boy Membo, who I like a lot, you know, there's a good chance Josh Simmons is tackle one. But he did have the injury. You know, when he transferred from San Diego State, he made that transition from right tackle to left tackle. And sometimes that's not easy to do. For him, it was pretty seamless. So, you know, he's not a mauler in the ground game. But I think if you're looking for just an extremely athletic and just God-given ability and height and weight and all that stuff, he's going to bring that. He's got a good motor. You know, the injury, it's the PCL. So, you know, that's something that the team, I'm sure, is triple and quadruple checked as far as the meds go. But I think he'd be a perfect fit for you guys on that left side, left or right side. But I think he's more than capable of filling that bill.
This is what I think is the ideal scenario for the Chiefs. And Rob disagrees, and we can talk about it. I think the ideal scenario now for Kansas City is this. Jalen Moore has a really productive season. A really productive year.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I would argue that they then extend them at the end of the year. Let's say that Jalen Moore goes out there, puts together a Pro Bowl caliber season. I would then extend him past this season. Why go into it on a final year of a contract for a player that's under 30 years old at left tackle that you really like? Just extend him. So Moore goes out there, balls out, gets an extension. Kingsley Suamata-Ia wins the left guard position. He's your left guard. You already got center and right guard taken care of. Why do we need to debate it? And then after this season, when you release Juwan Taylor, you get back $20 million in cap space. You put Joshua Simmons over at right tackle. You now got $20 million to do whatever it is you need to do. The Chiefs are going to be in a really unique situation next year with the amount of cap space they're going to have. They're going to have almost $40 million in cap space by Travis Kelce retiring and cutting Juwan Taylor. That's a lot of cap space to go sign Trent McDuffie, to go sign George Karlaftis, to be aggressive in free agency, and sign an impact pass rusher or another corner. Whatever you want to do, they're going to have the cap space to do. That's what I see as the best case scenario. And the number one, I guess two reasons why I really like this move. We talked about the talent and that he is just not a player that I think is readily available at 32. I think you got him at a discount. I think he is a TV that is usually $1,000, but it's an open box. So now you got it for $400. I think you got to buy that television. You got a $1,000 TV. You spent $400 on it. Be happy with the bargain that you just got. Sure, maybe something is wrong with that TV and it breaks, and now you got to figure it out. Maybe it's the $1,000 TV that you got. Nothing is wrong with it, and you have that TV for the next 10 years. That's a realistic possibility. I hear you guys tell me all the time how the draft is the ultimate crapshoot. Well, you know what I'm always going to side with? Talent. I'm always going to be on the side of take really good players. And yes, there usually is a reason why you shouldn't draft a player. Whether it's injury concern, whether it's effort, whether it's background, character concerns, whatever it is, you just got to figure out what red flags you can live with. And if the injury thing bothers you, the fact that they don't need him to start week one, the fact they don't need him to start week six this year, we would believe, and the fact that he has a lot of time to fully recover, to fully rehab, and be back close to 100% in play, I think the value was too good for them to pass up. I think this was the best decision that they could have made. I think it was the draft pick that made the most sense for the Chiefs, and I think ultimately you could not, given the need that they have, you could not pass on his talent and run the risk of not getting a comparable player, whether it was in this year's draft at 63 and 66 or next year's draft, when we all believe the Chiefs are going to pick somewhere between 28 and 32.
I agree with you there. I think this was a little bit of a no-brainer. We talked leading into the draft coverage about how the Chiefs can really do anything. They can go corner. They can go running back. They can go safety. They can go line. There's really not a position in the field outside of quarterback that the Chiefs had taken in 31. You'd be like, why are they doing that? They had nothing but options. I love that Brett Veach took all those options, picked the position that is the most valuable of all the options, and said, okay, great, I'm bringing him in. That is, honest to goodness, for the first time this offseason, the time where Brett Veach has really prioritized positional value. He didn't do it with Nick Bolton. He didn't do it with Trey Smith. He hasn't done it really with Kareem Hunt. He hasn't done it this offseason. He did it in the draft, and that is the massive win. Where me and you maybe see it differently is, I think Joshua Simmons is in some form or fashion your left tackle either this year or of the future. I think by adding Joshua Simmons, they are telling either Jalen Moore, they are telling Jalen Moore in some capacity, you are a right tackle. You are not the future at left tackle. You do not bring in a guy who, admittedly, Ryan Day, very biased, and obviously is going to support his guys on draft day, Cruton, says the top five pick at left tackle. You don't play him one day at the right because Jalen Moore was just really good and we've paid him. I think in some form or fashion, either this year or next year, Jalen Moore, you better learn right tackle because we have our left. We have our future plans. So start doing it in training camp this year so you're ready to roll and have some value in 2026 because you don't bring in Joshua Simmons and everyone tells me he's the best tackle in the draft, he was healthy, to have him swing over to the less important side on the offensive line.
Let's say that Jalen Moore is really good. What do you do?
You tell him to go to the right. I'm sorry. Sometimes that's life.
I guess I'm asking this question is, what scenarios would you feel comfortable with Jalen Moore staying at the current position that he is going to play for this upcoming year?
I don't know there is one. unless
you and I are just different then. Technically,
Calamity with Joshua Simmons would lead me there. Like, let's say Joshua Simmons is Kingsley 2.0. I don't believe that. Let's just say
Oh, yeah, that happens. Yeah, he's getting moved. Yeah, he's getting moved.
Then Jalen Moore is your left tackle forever. But, like, I think if Joshua Simmons is healthy and ready to go at some point in 2025 or at the very latest 2026, plug and play left tackle. He ain't moving to the right.
Yeah, you and I are just on different sides of that, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, somebody has to move over to the other side. I mean, Jalen Moore has played 55 snaps in his NFL career at right tackle. He has played a majority of his snaps at left tackle. If you were telling me in the middle of his career, a player who, and let's see how well he performs, if he's really good at left tackle this year, the plan is just to move him? That's not what I would do if I'm the Chiefs, but we obviously have to see how this season plays itself out. Here is Pro Football Focus. They think that Simmons is the most boom or bust prospect in this year's draft.
At number five on our list, it is Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State. So now, why is he number five, not a little bit higher? Because I see a lot of people have him as OT2, OT3, maybe even OT1. I think context is really important with Josh Simmons. He has less than half a year of elite production, and that came this year. Obviously, I mentioned before, torn patellar tendon, but he did say he should be good to go in mid-April for his own pro day, which is good, very good news for Josh Simmons. I don't think he'll ever displace defenders in the run game. Not really a strong player. He's got a 58.9 career run blocking grade and 33 inch arms as well, which is 12th percentile for tackles. I think Josh Simmons is one of the biggest boom or bust prospects in this draft. His pass blocking tape this year was elite, but like I said before, it came in 5.5 games against very, very easy competition. He has traits that you want to bet on, and I completely understand why he's projected as a first round pick, but the production I think is severely lacking.
The best way I can put this is Simmons' good tape is really good. There's also a lot of inconsistent in his game that we've seen going back to his time at San Diego State and then at Ohio State.
That sounds to me like the 31st overall pick. Both good and bad. Why a team took a chance on him in round one, that also explains why teams who were looking for tackles decided to go in a different direction. It's what it sounds like to me. I think this is the prototypical first round pick. Now, this is Chiefs related, but also national related. I think sometimes we forget that only a small amount of people can be a first round pick. Only 32 players. Now, there are always going to be, I don't know, maybe like 15 guys that are surefire first-round picks. Travis Hunter, Cam Ward. Like, there are some guys that, yeah, you're going to be a first-round pick. And then I would say, Rob, and you probably agree with this, there's like 40 people fighting for like 16 spots. Like, Will Campbell was going to be picked in the first round. But I would say between Joshua Simmons, a Luther Burden, a Shedeur Sanders, there's like 40 players that are fighting for 16 spots. So I think whenever a guy like Shedeur doesn't get picked in the first round, some of us kind of point, well, like, he might be like the 37th overall pick. I mean, that's still pretty good. I mean, I can give you a lot of really good players who were the top 10 picks in the second round. Same thing for Luther Burden. Now, I think Luther Burden in some ways played himself out of being a first round pick. But we can just go in recent memory of wide receivers that were selected in the top 10 picks. I mean, that's where Deebo Samuel got drafted. That's where Ladd McConkey got drafted. We can find a lot of really good receivers who got drafted narrowly outside the first round and early in the second round. I'm looking at Tennessee as a possibility for Luther Burden. You took a quarterback with the number one overall pick. You're looking for weapons to put around your quarterback. Adding Luther Burden is not a bad thing to do if you're the Tennessee Titans. I don't think that Burden is going to drop too much further in this year's draft. His talent level is too high to me. He's too dynamic with the football. I don't think that he's in a range for Kansas City realistically to go get. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe he's dropping down the board and he's there at 55. Would the Chiefs trade up to go get him? I don't know. But they passed on him the first time. I think Burden is going to go sometime pretty early. I'm guessing he is going to go in the first 10 picks of this second round. I think he's too talented of a wide receiver, and a lot of those teams that are picking in that top 10 have a young quarterback that I think they want to pair with a really talented wide receiver prospect like Luther Burden.
I agree with you. I think the Chiefs have no shot at him today. I don't know if he makes it to 40. There's too many teams that I think will take a receiver or a weapon in that window. I'll also tell you, like, and maybe this is going to come off like a hater. If he starts making the 45, 50, 55, are we sure the Chiefs want him? Because that means something is wrong. That means that either he tested poorly or there's major character concerns or there's some story floating. Because if he gets into that range where you think the Chiefs could go get him, let's just use 48. If he gets to 48, 49, 50, I don't know the Chiefs are going to want to trade up to go get that guy, because it means there is something in the burden sphere that is wrong, because there's no reason that talent should be there at 48, 49, 50.
All right, Rob, let's get to the hits, and we'll do some more national stuff coming up in the 5:30. I do want to give you guys my thoughts on Sadur, where he could potentially go. We're off early today? Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was Friday, so I assumed they played it. My bad. I thought that was a 5:30 today.
Still school year. Royals are still doing those 5:30 games.
Oh, I thought on Fridays they played it the regular time. My bad. I apologize.
So they changed it this year. I don't know why. I agree with you. They should be Friday.
I thought this whole time we were off at 6. I would have paced the 5 o'clock hour very differently had I known that. I just learned this for the first time.
Anyone that accused this show of not being live is just befuddled by what just happened.
You know what? I haven't really been thinking too much about the Royals the last couple of days.
They're red hot. They've won 4 in a row.
They played the Rockies and the draft was happening. I will be fully invested in the Royals on Tuesday. Like, once the draft is over, I'll be back fully invested in the Royals. But you know what the Royals have taken? They've taken a little bit of a break in my mind for these next couple of days. Well, are you going to talk about the Royals today? No, I don't have any plan of talking about the Royals today, actually. None. This was all the Royals conversation you're going to get today.
Which was more than you anticipated.
Yeah, no, I did not give you too much more. Where do you think Shadur is going to get drafted?
New Orleans.
Right now, Vegas is the betting favorite.
Vegas would have Geno Smith and Diet Geno Smith. I think it's New Orleans. I think the Raiders are going to let him slide past, and they're going to see if they sink or swim with Geno, and if they sink, they'll go get their quarterback next year when it's a super deep class. So I think he slides to New Orleans, and it's a Derek Carr and Shador battle in 2025.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I am intrigued by the idea of Cleveland having 2 second-round picks in the first 5. Cleveland has 33 and 36. I'm really intrigued to see what they do and if they do it. Like, does Cleveland take a chance on Shadur and just think that the value's too good in the second round to pass up? I do think that Shadur is going in the second round today. And I think that most years we would look at Shadur as like a prototypical second round pick. Like, it used to not be a bad thing to be a second-round pick. Maybe it's just a Shadur thing, but, like, now we've turned being a second-round pick into, like, a bad thing, which I don't think that it is. I mean, the current Super Bowl MVP is a second-round pick. I don't think it's the worst thing that can happen, but everything is always a little bit different with Shadur. We had a lot of fun today. We will have all your draft coverage coming up on Monday. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive. And until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.